So this morning, we are going to talk about God's Word in the Old Testament as we've been doing through the Sundays in Lent. And we've been looking at the Old Testament stories that that tie in to the Lenten season and help us to take a different perspective in our own lives, which we don't often do from the Old Testament. Sometimes we think of the Old Testament as things that happened that it was God acted differently back then, or that maybe God doesn't do those things anymore, or it was so long ago, it's not relevant to me today. Well, none of that's true. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and God's Word is eternal. And so when we take a step back and look at these things, we see these things consistently. And so as pastors, we enjoy the opportunity to get into these texts and to be able to unpack them together and to learn together what God's Word is saying to us. And in today's text, it's definitely one that I have never done a sermon on before itself. And it was really interesting to dig into this text from an Old Testament prophet. And so Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. We got to pause already on the first verse. What's going on here? First of all, the word covenant. What is a covenant? What is a covenant? We don't really have covenants today, do we? Not really. The place where you see covenants is like when you look in your homeowners association. Like it says that there are covenants. That doesn't seem that important to me. Right? I mean, if we're going to put things on a list of important things, like knowing the ins and outs of my neighborhood's homeowners association doesn't seem like I'm in a covenant relationship with them. And let me explain why I say that. Because that was the only thing that I could really find where we use that language of covenant today outside of the Bible. Because what we usually say is what? We have an agreement. We have a contract. Maybe we have a subscription. These days, when we subscribe to something, we're in a relationship, right? With whatever we're subscribing to, we're committing to have that in our lives. So subscriptions, agreements, contracts. But what is a covenant? Because I would say in America today, that language is lost in its meaning as compared to what it means in God's Word when He uses a covenant. Because a covenant is an agreement, a contract, a relationship that you enter into with another party in which you're committing to follow whatever it is that you have agreed upon. And there are different types of covenants, and we'll get into that shortly. But I want to read through the rest of what Jeremiah says. So the time is coming, declares the Lord, through Jeremiah, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So even though the kingdom, God's chosen people, are divided at this point in history because of infighting and whatever, God still has this covenant relationship with all of them. Even though they've split amongst themselves, God's covenant He made with Abraham continues through His people in this. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them. Now this is another thing where God uses interesting language to get our attention. Because He says, this new covenant I'm making now is going to not be like the old one. Now, this is important because God is the one who made the covenant in the first place and entered into the covenant relationship with His people. And so by God being the one who started that covenant, he's the one that set the rules for what it would look like. Now, normally, if you have a covenant, for us, a contract, let's say, and you enter into it, then either party has the ability within that contract to break it at any point, to fulfill it at any point. The idea is to fulfill it, right? When you enter into a contract, you want to fulfill it. When you get into a contract to get into to be married, the idea is to be married. When you get into a contract to buy a business, the idea is to buy the business. All these things. Well, when God enters into this, God enters into it fully and completely and asks his people to do the same. Just like you were with a business partner. Just like you would with a life partner. You enter into something with both of you agreeing to a set of standards. Well, what happened when God entered into this covenant with his people is that his people, that's us by the way, sinful human beings keep breaking the covenant, keep breaking the contract. They keep breaking the situation that they've agreed to participate in with God. What God's saying is ever since I've entered into this relationship with you and this promise with you, and I've told you who I am and who you are and how this works, you've broken the agreement. And God says he uses this marriage language because he's using something that we can understand what it looks like. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Now, there's so much language in here. We could preach on this verse for the rest of the time. There's so many things going on here that God's doing. We see glimpses of Deuteronomy with where God gave the Shema to Israel. We see glimpses of Ruth where God Ruth talks about being together and my people will be your people. We see all of these things that are throughout Scripture in Jeremiah's prophecy because God is who God is. The reason the Bible sounds like maybe I've heard that somewhere before, or the reason this language sounds maybe consistent or familiar is because it is, because God is. And even within this covenantal promise, made a long time ago, the eternal word of God is present here for us today. And that's what I want you to keep thinking about throughout while we're unpacking this. Because yes, this is language for the people of the day. But this is language for us too. Because in it you see who your God is. You see who the God is that we worship here every Sunday morning. You see the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God who consistently delivers on what he says. And God goes on and says, no longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. And this is part of the new covenant God's making. This is a covenantal promise that's going to come way later because it's a messianic covenant promise. This is a promise that one day there'll be restoration because God's going to deliver on the ultimate promise he made, the covenant he made in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:15, when he said that he would send a way out from the sin problem that exists after Adam and Eve fell into temptation. From that moment on, God promised that he would send a Messiah. And this is God continuing in that promise to show the people who he is and to show us who he is. And if you look at the language here, God is the one doing the committing. Again, in spite of our unfaithfulness. God uses this language because we can understand it. We know what it's like to be unfaithful. We know what it's like to break promises. We know what it's like to do what we want in the best interest of us, not in the best interest of whoever we're in partnership with at any given time. And I mean that in school, I mean that in business, I mean that in love, I mean in every area. We know what it's like to be hurt, and we know what it's like to break the commitment on some level. And so even though this is Old Testament language about a covenant promise thousands of years ago, this is for today in 2024 for us. Because it's still true. So what God continues to go on here is to show us that in spite of our willingness to break promises, agreements, to go back on our word, God continues to bless us. That's where our blessings come from. And our blessings come from even in our failure, as well as in our obedience, because God is good all the time. And God sees us for who we are, his children. And so God blesses us in spite of our disobedience. And in spite of our obedience, I want to be clear. God blesses because he loves. And what often happens is we get content in our situation, and then we end up giving into our own devices or wanting more. And in doing that, what we end up doing is we end up forsaking God. When God said this covenant is not like the one before because you broke it, he was talking to Israel, but he's talking to us. Because what is the covenant that God has promised to us? God has promised to us that he would send a way out. And God did that by coming down amongst his creation, becoming one of us, living the life perfectly, and then dying in spite of his innocence for all the things that we do and all the times we forsake him. And we know that Jesus Christ was 100% man and 100% God, and we see that even in this language. What did Jesus say on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, God turned his back to his son because of our sin. And Jesus Christ died for you. And I say it like that because it's so important. And because even though we hear it all the time, God's telling us, I love you so much, you keep breaking your promises, and this is how I'm going to repay you. With love. And we don't always love God the way that he loves us. In fact, we almost never do, right? Because God loves us unconditionally. And so what we want to be reminded of this morning is in spite of all that, in spite of the weight of that, God continues to remain the same. God continues to see you not as a failure, not as a covenant breaker, not as a disobedient person that deserves punishment. But he continues to see you through Jesus Christ. And so what we know, our covenant now, We know God always stays the same in his covenants, right? We've seen that already this morning. In every covenant God has made, he has kept his end of the promise every single time. And the covenant now is that when we trust in Jesus Christ and know that he died for our sins and paid for them forever, that our sins are taken care of. And so our confidence isn't in being as good as we can, because none of us can be good enough. Our confidence is in Jesus Christ. Nothing that man gives, nothing that people give, but our confidence comes in Jesus Christ. And that's the covenant relationship that we're in now. That God says that when we trust in Jesus, we will live in his presence forever. When we trust in Jesus Christ, that our sins have been paid for eternity. And we know that we have a God that loves us so much that he was willing and is willing to continually forgive, to continue to enter into this bond, this covenant of love with us, because we are his children and he loves us. So my hope and prayer for us this Lenten season is that we continue to keep that perspective. That we find confidence and joy and hope in knowing the covenant relationship is in place. That Jesus Christ has fulfilled what we couldn't. And that our God has promised one day he will return and bring us together with him, free from sin, death, and the devil. And until that day, we have joy in knowing we are forgiven and set free. Let's pray.